As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two best words in sports, game three. Decisive game three between the Padres.
How about four best words? Win or go home. There you go.
Yes, the best four words in sports, especially if you win. Win or go home, Padres survive. And now they have this decisive game coming up, and we know the game time. They will play at 2:08, yay for John and Jim, which has a show from 2 to 6 p.m. on San Diego Sports 760. So 2:08 is the start time. It'll be on ESPN. And the Padres will play to extend their season to Milwaukee and the NLDS. But first things first, I mean, it was impressive. It really was. The way in which they won today, start to finish, scoring early, Dylan Cease, the bullpen, Manny Machado. We can react to it all. And then we look ahead to Yu Darvish making the start for the Padres against his former team at Wrigley Field opposite Jameson Taillon, who has pitched very well for the Cubs. All hands on deck, as Mike Schilt said postgame, as the Padres win. And, you know, the tune has changed from yesterday, obviously. I mean, we talked to a lot of people, I thought, yesterday, Jim, off the ledge. We said this series is not over. Game one did not go the way everyone hoped it would. It was a concern. There were some things in there we didn't like, but we said, listen, crazier things have happened than overcoming a one-game deficit. And guess what? The Padres have done that. They've evened up the series, and it comes down to one game. So first things first, subscribe to this damn channel. We're two subscribers away from 9,700. So let's I don't even want to start this show without two subscribers. So please, if you have not subscribed to this channel, please do that for us. We've been with you guys for years upon years, day in and day out. So please subscribe to this channel, year-round content for you. Smash the like button. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We see the supers from Brian and Gavin and Joshua. We appreciate you guys. We'll get to every single super chat, we promise you. So if you want to support the channel, have a question, comment, just want to see your comment on screen, just want to support, click the dollar sign below the chat box. If you want the Cub Busters emoji, become a member. Click the join button down below. Of course, Cub Busters going all the way back to 1984, and we'll see if we can ride some of that momentum here in game three. But, Jim, first things first, they win. They do so impressively, 3-0 behind Dylan Cease. Now they live to see another day.
Yeah, I will start there. I mean, the whole thing rested on the shoulders of Dylan Cease early on in that game, you know, unless the Padres scored like six runs in the first, which they didn't. They did score a run in the first inning, which was really good, but I do feel like the Cubs, if I was the Cubs and I was a Cub fan, I would have looked at the first inning as a semi-win, just because it could have been much worse, right? Mm-hmm. Like, first two batters get on and you only allow a run there. I think if you're a Cub fan, you'd take it, right? If I told you, hey, start tomorrow's game, the first two are going to get on, and only one run scores, like, yeah, I'll take that, right? Yeah.
Gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, exactly. But we have to start with Dylan Cease. Like, we talked a lot about him yesterday, right? We all know the history of Dylan Cease. We all know how he choked in the postseason last year. He just was awful. He had a bad regular season. He was not good on the road. And I know it was only 3 2/3, but I mean, it was a pretty close to flawless 3 2/3 from Dylan Cease. He was throwing strikes. He was throwing high velocity. His stuff looked crisp. He wasn't walking guys. He gave up a double, but that was it. And, you know, all you ask for in the postseason out of your pitchers, especially your starting pitchers, is to give you a chance to win the ballgame. You're not asking for your starters to go 7 or even 6. Like, can you just give us a chance to win so we can get to our bullpen and you can be the bridge to our you know, back end, right? He did the job and he was fantastic. His stuff looked really good. 5 strikeouts and 3 2/3. I mean, look, the final line isn't like pretty. It's not like, oh, 6 innings, 9 strikeouts, 1 hit, 1 walk, no runs allowed. But we all know Dylan Cease, and we all know what we've seen of him this year and his postseason history, and the fact that, you know, Schilt kind of did what we said could happen. I think it went to it. I think they could not have asked for anything more from Dylan Cease in this game.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. In the elimination games, the leashes are short for all pitchers because your season's on the line. So, you know, you're seeing some of these outings across baseball. There have been some 6 and 7 inning outings, if not more. Garrett Crochet, right? Carlos Rodon. You've seen these lengthy outings. But when you're down a game and Dylan Cease has pitched the way he's pitched this year, you have to be so cautious. I thought Mike Schilt, I think the first win from a in-game decision was Mike Schilt doing what he did and going to Morihone when he did. And in real time, yes, you have to get through the situation. But the way they navigated that, Cease has been done in all year long by two out trouble, by the way. It could be two out spaces empty, that's double-double or single home run. So he allows the double. Okay. You're still okay. And then to issue the intentional walk to get to Pete Crow Armstrong, PCA, and to bring the lefty in there because you're forcing Craig Counsell's hand. He's not pinch hitting for him. You can't. It's the fourth inning. You're up a game. You can't pinch hit for him. And Morihone gets PCA. And that's the first in a series of moves that will be dissected today. Of course, the most, you know, infamous move is what Craig Counsell decided to do, which is face Manny Machado. But Mike Schilt got the best of Craig Counsell. I could point to 2 or 3 things actually in today's game that I really liked from Schilt in terms of the way he used his bullpen and the way he attacked that fourth inning. To me, it's just smart. Listen, it doesn't always work out. You can make the right, you know, tactical move. You still have to be able to get the batter. I thought it was the right tactical decision, and it worked out for Mike Schilt, and it set in motion a series of events that the Padres would later take advantage of. And we'll get into Counsell. People have been talking about it, I'm sure, all day, but Craig Counsell's inability to read a room or read analytics and pitch to Manny Machado changes this game again. Because to sit on 1-0, I think would have been hard for Morihone, Miller, and Suarez. As good as they were, I think the game is different 1-0 than it is 3-0. And you might say, John, they didn't score. Does it matter? I think it matters. And when Manny hit that two-run home run, I think everything changed for me. The air came out of the building. You had breathing room. And the Padres were able to win it. But I thought the two-run home run, the Craig Counsell inability to manage properly was a huge story. But it was Mike Schilt who took advantage in that fourth inning with Adrian Morihone first.
A little inside baseball here. You know, if you go back to that third inning, the bottom of the third inning, when Swanson singles, Shaw flies out, wild pitch by Dylan Cease, runner at second, 1 out. Padres lead 1-0. And you had Michael Busch at the plate, one of their best hitters. Off the bat, I'm like, okay, that shit's up the middle. Defensive alignment of Xander Bogaerts where he was perfection. Without having Xander playing where he was playing up the middle for Michael Busch there with a runner at second, the game's maybe different because the game's tied at that point. And shit, they almost got a double play there. And, you know, then Nico Horner flies out. And then you're right. You get to the fourth inning and a two out double by Saya. Yeah, I think that Mike Schilt making that move, and it's so crazy because Mike Schilt makes that move, and in real time, I'm like, yo, this is a spot where you better be right. And you could say it for both managers, and you can say it for like almost every move in the postseason. You better be right. But especially in that moment, walking the go-ahead run and putting him on first to then bring in a reliever to go lefty-lefty matchup against PCA, it was I think it's a bold move, and it worked out. And then on the flip side, when you have Craig Counsell not walk a guy and not go lefty-lefty matchup and have it burn him, yeah, that's the game right there. Mike Schilt outmanaged Craig Counsell today, and I thought Craig Counsell not walking Manny there, or at least bringing in a righty to face Manny if you wanted to face him, which I still think is dumb with the base open in that situation. But hey, whatever, right? But the fact that you left in Shota Imanaga to face Manny for a second time is malpractice from a manager in the postseason.
It's insane, and this is not hindsight. This was said all real time.
Yeah.
And this is not hindsight. And here's the thing. Here's how we know it's malpractice and egregious. The Cubs didn't start Shota Imanaga today because they didn't want him facing Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. more than he needed to. They wanted to skip the top to get to him for the bottom. And yes, he'd come back around for the top, but he was only going to face Tatis and Machado one time. And for him to get them twice and to pitch to Manny in that spot is egregious. Is what it is. And we can, I don't know why we would argue that point here. I think we should be celebrating it. As in, you and I agree, but there's some people like, hey, Manny struggled against Imanaga. That's inconsequential. Yep. It's the postseason. You're maximizing leverage situations and platoon advantages. So you don't have the lefty Imanaga who's allowed 32 home runs this year facing Machado in that spot. It just doesn't make any sense tactically. And the Padres are the beneficiaries, thankfully. Yeah. Brian, appreciate you getting us started here tonight. Guys, if you are here, 525 people here live right now, please subscribe. We're over 9,700 subscribers. So it somehow happened. Let's get to 10,000 subscribers this postseason.
We did it.
Let's all hope for a good Thursday in Padres land. But please subscribe to this channel. And thank you for the super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. If you want to become a member, get those custom emojis, including the Cub Busters emoji. Click join down below. Brian says, Jim, are you ready to apologize? Also, what are our did you call Brian a moron today on John and Jim?
Apologize for what?
Calling him a moron.
Well, it had to be a good reason why I called you a moron.
I don't think it was. also, what are our chances for tomorrow?
I blacked out. What did I say?
You said he criticized you. He was just like, I disagree. You're like, you're a moron.
No, why did I call you a moron, Brian? Because if you remind me, then I'll be like, well, yeah, appreciate you watching, but like.
He says, yes, you called him a moron.
Okay, but why? I forget. Why did I say it? I don't even remember.
Jim like, calls everyone. It was the sports jinx thing.
Oh, yeah. I said jinxes aren't real, dude. You're like getting mad at me.
Moron.
And what did I even say to like imply a jinx? And by the way.
Yeah, what did he say actually?
I don't know. I think I was just like praising. I'm like, oh, get through this. And guess what? They won the game. So it just proves the point that jinxes aren't real.
He says, what are our chances for tomorrow, boys? I'm thinking 60% chance we win. Okay. Let's see what the odds suggest. I think 60% is probably high. I would probably
say
take
it's a jinx.
Yeah, good point. I mean, I think a coin flip is probably fair. Okay, here are the odds. ESPN bet, Cubs -115, Padres -105. Both teams are favored to win. There's juice. So Cubs -115, Padres -105. What that actually means mathematically is 51-49 Cubs. That's what it means. 51-49 Cubs. Guess what? That means if you have 100 cards in the deck, 49 of them you win on. So it's a coin flip. It's a complete coin flip game. How could you say anything else? Darvish, we've seen the good and the bad. Taillon has been good. Like, you, how could you say the Cubs are destined to win or the Padres are destined to win? I mean, we got to see how it plays out. It's a completely unpredictable arena that they're walking into, so to speak, tomorrow.
And I'm sorry, Brian. I'm sorry. Oh, we can move on.
Okay, so you think it's 50-50. Yeah. Gavin says he loves Mason Miller.
Love Mason Miller.
I mean, and actually Joshua follows up. Thank you, Joshua, for the generous super. He says, you don't hit Mason Miller. Mason Miller hits you. He had the hit by pitch. So no pitcher in baseball history, Jim, had struck out more than the first six batters they faced in their playoff career ever until Mason Miller made it eight. He didn't go to seven. He went from six, the history of baseball. You're going back to 1883. He went eight consecutive batters via the strikeout to start his postseason career. No one's ever had more than six to start their postseason career.
Look, I know we saw Jeremiah Estrada's 13 strikeouts roughly 10,000 times this year during the regular season. And by like the fourth time I saw it, I was like, okay, can we move on? I'm over this. I'm okay if you told me right now we're going to watch Mason Miller's eight consecutive strikeouts against the Cubs 10,000 times next year. Mm-hmm. During Padres games, because that shit was so electric today. Trying to come up with an analogy, but it just feels like watching it felt like watching Manny hit the two-run homer. Watching Mason Miller pitch is equally as satisfying as watching like a Padres player hitting a 400-foot blast.
Hmm.
It is that entertaining to watch because he is so good and so electric. There's nobody like him. And the 104.5-mile-per-hour fastball in the black, like I saw it on social media. You saw it too. And you saw Jeff Passan even tweeted about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, I know we're living in the moment. Is that the greatest pitch in the history of the baseball?
No, it's not. It was a great pitch, but no, stop. Because there's been pitches that have been so much more impactful
in the history of baseball. No, I'm not talking about impact. I'm not talking about moments. I'm talking about just that in a vacuum, that pitch alone. Who is hitting a 104.5-mile-per-hour fastball on the outside corner on the black low in the zone?
You better take it the other way. I mean, it's the hardest pitch arguably ever thrown because nothing has ever been recorded over 104.5 in the postseason. So the hardest pitch ever thrown in the postseason because nobody was throwing harder than that prior to 2008. It was a great pitch. It's been a great 2 days for Mason Miller. I want to see another good outing, great outing tomorrow because I think they'll need him tomorrow in some form or fashion.
Name me one player in the history of baseball that hits that pitch, that gets that pitch and hits it and for a single, or just like give me a player. Tony, maybe. I mean,
Tony takes that thing the other way, dude.
Is Tony hitting a 104.5-mile-per-hour fastball in the black just like the other way? Good luck, Barry Bonds. Good luck, Babe Ruth.
You know who hits that? I'll tell you who hits that. Freaking Tyler Wade squaring. That's who hits it.
I'm serious. That's does Otani hit that? If Otani hits that, I'll tip my cap. Like, I've never tipped my cap in my entire life.
No, you'll tip your cap. Like, your 50-50 season was a joke. It was incredible. His outing was incredible. Throwing 104.5 miles per hour over the black to strike a batter out is ridiculous.
Like, the location of it, dude.
Perfect.
Like I know I'm semi-joking on this, but I'm actually kind of semi being serious. Does anybody hit that pitch?
And just by happenstance. I mean, if you swing a bat, you could hit a ball, but no, nobody does it with like intent.
Right. No one's like, I mean, I'm looking for the 104 on the outside.
On the black. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like the fucking just dot.
It's impossible to hit. Albert says he likes his chances or he likes the Padres' chances of advancing. I mean, again, I think you should be heading into tomorrow. Here's what I hope I see from the Padres. I hope they are loose, but I hope they're confident. Like, tomorrow's not the day to play tight. That's for the Cubs to do. They blew the one game lead. They made the poor managerial decision. They have their season on the line. They were the favorite heading into the series. Tomorrow for me is play confident, play free. Like, I don't know if loose is the right word, but play confident, play free. Don't have to be perfect is the way I look at it. You don't have to be like, if you allow a run, that doesn't mean the game is over. I'm expecting more of the same. Closely played, low-scoring game. And I like the Padres' chances of advancing too. I mean, I'm not overly, like, I'm not going to be like guaranteeing anything. But yes, I think everyone likes their chances. If they play their style, they can move on. So let's see if they do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I actually really do like their chances tomorrow. I'm not just blowing smoke here. I'm not being a homer. I'm definitely not one. I do like their chances tomorrow. I think they have a better than a puncher's chance to win. I will take the Padres pitching over the Cubs pitching. And at this point in time, what I've seen from the Cubs lineup, I'll take the Padres lineup over the Cubs lineup. Hasn't been, you know, great offensive baseball from either teams, but I just think I would take the Padres lineup over the Cubs lineup right now. I think I would. Saw some really bad at bats from the Cubs today. Like really bad. I mean, PCA is, holy shit, that guy takes some of the worst at bats you'll ever see. No wonder he's so pissed off. Yeah, I give them better than a puncher's chance, and I do think they win tomorrow. I said Padres in three to start. I didn't think that winning back-to-back games would be how they would get there and do it, but that's what they're going to have to do. We don't have a choice but to trust Yu Darvish starting tomorrow. I do like their chances to advance here.
I do too. I mean, I picked Padres in three before the series. I agree. I have to be realistic. I mean, they've got a decent chance to do it, but it's not like an overwhelming chance is how I look at it. Here's the thing. I treat tomorrow like I treated today with Cease. I'm very cautious with Darvish. I'm willing to get my bullpen up at any point, at any sign of trouble. Darvish does not have the swing and miss stuff this year. Does not have the swing and miss stuff this year that Dylan Cease has had. The Cubs have really struggled hitting fastballs. Yu Darvish is more of a kitchen sink pitcher at this point in his career. Now, he can get swings and misses on all that breaking stuff. I mean, he can throw 6-7 pitches up there and have success, but he can also be hit hard. And we've seen outings this year when he's allowed 3 home runs in an inning. So you have to be cautious. Again, I'm optimistic and I'm hopeful, but I have no fear if I'm Mike Schilt, and I know he doesn't. I have no fear getting a pitcher up in the second or third inning. I cannot fear that in any regard. If it's working, great, and hopefully can give you 3 2/3 innings or further. If it's not working, it's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean you're going to lose if you allow one run in the first 2 innings, but you have to be willing to go to your bullpen if you have to go to your bullpen whenever it is.
Yep, it's all hands on deck once again. They are in a interesting position where you kind of unloaded the clip a little bit today with your top guys to get to game 3, which you have to do. I am all for it. You worry about game 3 when game 3 comes around. So using Morejon for 7 outs, using Miller for 5 outs, like, you had to do it. There's no other way. You're not putting the ball in the hands of anybody else. Those the 3 guys that you saw in the bullpen today are the 3 guys that Mike Schilt trusts the most. And you kind of can see where Jeremiah Estrada has fallen into that pecking order where the organization feels like not the greatest about him right now. Right. Yep. With that being said, because you tax these guys today, what's it going to look like tomorrow on a third straight day? Like, you used both those guys for games 1 and game 2. How are you going to use them for game 3? That's the question I'm asking myself right now, because you're not going to see those guys for as long as you saw them today.
Yeah, 16 combined outs if you include Suarez. You're 100% right. You need
Suarez. I'm fine with Suarez. He can
throw 4 outs. But here's the thing. The equation now needs to include at least a 4th reliever. We all agree. in all likelihood, even if Yu Darvish went five innings, the equation to a win tomorrow will include a fourth reliever. In addition to Suarez and Miller and Morahone, you'll need a fourth pitcher. You got to pick the right lane, the right spot, and the right player to potentially cover anywhere from like, I think they might have to cover an additional three, four, five outs tomorrow that they didn't have to cover here today. Here's the other thing I'm thinking about. You only have to go back to a year ago where they were playing a decisive game.
Yeah.
And if I'm sitting in my hotel room tonight and it's midnight central and I'm putting my head on the pillow and I'm Jake Cronenworth and I'm Fernando Tatis Jr., I'm trying to recall the lessons of what transpired last year at Dodger Stadium. And I'm trying not to fall in the same trap. Like, I don't want to be so hell-bent on avoiding that same failure. But, like, I want to learn from what happened last year. You cannot be in that exact same spot again a year later. That cannot be the end result. We cannot watch a 2-0 game where they do nothing on offense and they get the pitching and your bullpen can't save you, because when you're trailing 2-0, your bullpen can't save you. So we've talking pitching, 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 bullpen, bullpen, bullpen. Someone has to step up offensively and be capable, whether it's a big hit situationally, a home run. Someone has to loosen it up early. Can't wait till the seventh inning to score tomorrow. You have to score. Now, they've scored early in these first two games. They have to score a run early. They absolutely have to, in my opinion, or you're tempting fate.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when you look at both of these bullpens, you know, Cubs have scored a run off Padres bullpen. Padres have scored a run off the Cubs bullpen.
Right.
And it's going to come down to the bullpens tomorrow. I like, do you feel like that's the case here? I feel like it's going to come down to the bullpens once again. I would be surprised if this thing is a blowout either way. I really do, because both managers are going to have such a quick hook to you know, try to stop any big inning. Like, I just don't, they're not going to let some guy go out there and just die on the vine unless some guy gives up a 3-run homer, right? But they are going to try to stop every fire and put out every fire they possibly can to keep this thing close. That's why I think it's going to be a close game tomorrow. But yeah, you're right. Offensively, you know, it's not been pretty the first two games. Besides the Manny 2-run homer, it's like you haven't done much offensively. Now, Cubs haven't done much offensively either, but still, you know, if I'm looking just from a Padres perspective here, you're going to have to do all the little things right tomorrow. And if you told me that they go 1-for-11 again with runners in scoring position in game three tomorrow, I'd be concerned.
That one better be a 3-run home run is what it exactly better be tomorrow. Yeah. We're going to get back to the super chats in a moment, guys. If you are here, please subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans. We're talking in season, in the postseason, in the offseason. So please subscribe to the channel. Thank you for the super chats. We'll get to all of them. We'll be here as long as we need to here tonight. Padres have forced a game three in Chicago tomorrow at 2:08 Pacific, which is 4:08 Central, which means you're going to have the sun setting throughout the course of the game at Wrigley Field. Do want to thank our title sponsor here on the wrap-up show, by the way, guys. He's been with us for five seasons on the wrap-up show on YouTube. So please, if you have an insurance need, get in contact with Mark Nimitz at Farmers. We've been texting with Mark throughout the course of today. He's a diehard Padres fan. He's a native San Diego, and he's a great insurance agent. You know that because we've done business with Mark for 5 years. I've had insurance policies through Mark for 5 years. He has saved my family so much time and money because we had to file a claim. He's been there for us throughout the course of the year, so he'll be there for you and your family. So whatever it is, auto, home, renter's life, earthquake insurance, click the link in the description down below. Get free quotes online or call Mark. He'll talk to you about the Padres. He'll talk to you about saving money on your insurance. But again, if you support this channel, please support our title sponsor. He's been there for us over the years. He's going to be there for you and your family as well when you need him. That's Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance.
Yeah, all his information is on that ticker below. MNimitz at FarmersAgent.com. When you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
Now let's get back to some of these super chats. Guys, we appreciate you. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. Gavin says, I am now saying LDV who? I don't care. Yeah, there's not going to be a lot of DeVries discussion in the postseason when the player you traded DeVries for is helping you win in the postseason.
Like, well, we kind of said that at the trade deadline. Like, yeah, this could hurt in a couple years, but as of right now, Mason Miller is... You got Mason Miller.
This guy's I mean, you mentioned it 5 minutes ago, but the more you think about it, you're like, I mean, this guy's unbelievable. It's one thing to have a good bullpen. It's another thing to have the best player, you know, the best relief pitcher in baseball. You know, yeah. I mean, it's a whole nother level.
Yeah. And this is Mason Miller's coming out party. You know, he was already known around the sport before the postseason, but when you're tucked away in Oakland and then Sacramento,
yeah, no one knows who that is.
Like, no, exactly. I mean, he has been on the national stage in the All-Star game.
Yep.
He struck out Ohtani, right, in that moment. But, like, that's it. No one's really, like, seen Mason Miller, and he's never pitched in a big-time game like he did in Games 1 and Game 2. And he has come on the scene here, and he has just turned into a guy that opposing fan bases are scared to death of. Like, that's who you have in the bullpen. In your bullpen, you have a guy that opposing teams and opposing teams' fan bases are scared to death of. That's crazy.
Yeah, like, to that point, I like Robert Suarez, but not like Mason Miller. I mean, you can't compare the two.
Oh, now, no.
Adrian Morahone, to his credit, has had such a good year that, of course, he's not Mason Miller, but this guy is like in a similar stratosphere with the year he's put together. But beyond that, like, there's no comparison here. Mason Miller, I mean, you just wish he had unlimited, you know, a pitch count where he could throw for forever. How do you lose?
Well, the thing with Suarez, he's got one pitch. Now, he's thrown, you know, the sinker, and he's thrown the changeup, like, but just like very rarely. So he's got one pitch. And so as the hitter, you're sitting fastball and you're likely going to get fastball. For Mason Miller, if you're sitting fastball and all of a sudden you see this 90-mile-hour like snap hook slider, you're like, what the fuck? And then if you're sitting slider and you see 104 by you, you're like, what the fuck? Like,
his slider is filthy.
If you go down in the count, if you get behind the count to Mason Miller, you're done. You're done. It's over. Good luck.
It's amazing the impact the slider has on hitters, because it's like you have to be sitting on his fastball, but his slider is knee buckling just by standing there. It's just like the reaction of the hitter is like, what am I supposed to be sitting on?
I have no idea.
It's insane. Ishmael, thank you, man, for the super chat. Says, hey guys, do you see our bullpen horseman going another 5+ innings tomorrow? I could see the bullpen throwing 5+ innings tomorrow. I just don't think the same combination of relievers.
Yeah, I can see the bullpen absolutely going five, maybe even more, depending on what happens with Yu Darvish here. I don't envision getting more than six outs combined from Morahone and Miller. I honestly,
and even that might be aggressive.
I honestly think that might be too many to ask after what they've done in Game 1 and Game 2. Like,
I agree.
If you told me right now, Miller and Morahone. Would you take, if I said right now, five outs? That's a lot.
Yeah, no, I'd take that right now. I'll take the right two outs. I would take Rally, like, if you can kill Rallies at the end of the seventh and eighth inning, because they come on with one or two outs in both of those innings and they get out of a jam. Or spot with a runner on.
Four outs is a lot. You're right. Okay. Yeah. Three outs, two outs.
I'm fine with it, man. If they both appear and help you get there, the only question for me is how do they cover the rest of these innings? Is it Michael King is summoned for an inning? Is it Bradley Rodriguez? I mean, that's asking a lot, guys. Game three, everything's on the line. But you know what I mean? Like, who is that pitcher? Jeremiah Estrada, I think it's asking a lot. Who is that additional reliever to emerge tomorrow to bridge the gap?
Because you can't. I mean, you can't. I want to go back here real quick. Because Schilt mentioned it post-game that he's only had pitchers pitch on three straight days twice this year.
Yeah, and you said Morahone did it in September, right?
Morahone did it literally like a week and a half ago. And are you going to do that to him so soon. Like going back to, let me just get pick up his. So September 20th, 21st, and 22nd, he pitched in Chicago for those two final games, and then the first game against the Brewers when the Padres clinched. He pitched a total of 3 1/3 innings in 3 straight days. And he's already eclipsed that, right?
Yeah. Well, he went 7 outs, 2 1/3. What did he pitch yesterday?
Yesterday he pitched an inning.
So it's 3 1/3.
He threw 9 pitches yesterday. And then he's, and then 2 1/3 today, 33 pitches. So 41 total pitches in 2 days. And if I'm looking back at the last time that Morejon, the only time that Morejon pitched 3 consecutive days this year, let me pull this up. +13, +12, +14.
39.
So he threw 39 pitches in Luis Campusano. He threw 39 pitches in 3 consecutive games in September. He's already eclipsed that in 2 outings so far here in games 1 and game 2.
And the adrenaline of these games ain't freaking guaranteed Chicago right field.
Fox. Yeah.
Like it's just different. So, I mean, you have to be cautious because these players mean something to you now and into the future, including this postseason. But you also need to win tomorrow, so you have to consider that fact as well. John, appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super. It says, Pods need to play loose tomorrow. The offense evaporates when they play tight. I don't know if we can expect the Cubs to put up another 0. I would agree with that. I mean, if you think about it from that perspective, the Padres were shut out in back-to-back games last year to end their season. We're asking now the same of the Cubs. Like, that's not my expectation. I'm not going into tomorrow like, just shut out the Cubs again. No, I mean, you got to be prepared for adversity. Like, you're going to have to score more than a run. We said that in game 1, mm-hmm. and it didn't work, scoring 1 run. So I'm not going into it like, score a run, you're going to win. No, they need to find a way to score 3 or 4 times tomorrow is how I look at it. I think you score less than 3 runs, you're asking for trouble. So they need to find a way to score 3 or 4 times tomorrow.
Yeah, and can the Padres keep the trend going of scoring first? You know, scored first yesterday, scored first today. Can they score first tomorrow? I mean, that's, you're putting a lot of pressure on your opponent in the postseason if you score first every single game. Mm-hmm. You just are. So that has to be, you know, part of the mindset here is start fast. and, you know, if you can do that, you know, the pressure's already on the Cubs. You score first tomorrow, early on in the game, like first or second inning, you're just putting in added pressure.
Let's make this easy. Fernando Tatis Jr. What's that?
I keep seeing notifications on my phone.
Jim's like, name a player that
Luis Campusano.
Jim's like, name a player that could hit this pitch in the history of baseball. And he has a photo of Mason Miller dotting the outside corner with his 105 mile per hour fastball. I replied Luis Campusano, and Darnay Tripp replied 2023 G Man Choi, and I replied 2021 G Man Choi.
I said serious question.
John, appreciate you, man. He says, if the Pods can cash in those runners in scoring position, then it's ours. Here's my plan.
What's your plan?
Fernando Tatis Jr. leadoff home run.
Okay.
Forget cool. Lisp. Forget Risk.
Fuck it. Yeah.
Fernando Tatis Jr., Mr. October for the Padres at times. He was impactful today, by the way.
Great game.
Catch, single to lead off the game. He scored a single stolen base run scored. That's massive.
He walks
later. And I don't care what like anyone says. The Tatis play in right in the 8th with 2 outs and Suarez came on.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 1-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold. today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Is like the biggest play of the game, other than the stupid Craig Council decision. I'm telling you, you looked up expected batting average on that ball that was hit off the bat of Nico Hoerner. It was 470 something. That's a base hit in the major leagues. I'm sorry. If not for Fernando Tatis Jr., the other 29 right fielders don't make the play. And he did. I thought that was a massive moment. If it falls in, it's 3-1 tying run at the plate in the eighth inning. So
the crowd energized and Suarez is rattled and you have no one else to go to in that situation for the Padres either. It's like it's either Suarez or we're fucked.
Yeah. So I just thought that was really, really a big moment. HBBV, thank you, man. He says Doyers wish Tanner Scott was like Miller. Ha ha. But yeah, absolutely.
Every team wishes their closer was like Mason Miller. And he's not even the Padres closer.
He will be
soon.
Yep, it will be soon. Jeff, appreciate you, man. He says, if you use Dicey, you think they go King, Vasquez, both. I think there's a scenario where if you don't get any length, Jim, like if Darvish in the second inning, two on, nobody out, I mean, you can't just piecemeal that all together with your traditional bullpen. You're going to have to cover two innings somewhere in there with someone like King or Vasquez. So, yeah, I mean, there's a scenario where one of those pitchers, if not more than one of those pitchers, appears tomorrow.
I don't think they want to go to King, truthfully. I think they want to avoid that. And I do think they want to avoid Vasquez too. Like, though, Vasquez to me is a guy that if this thing gets to like the 11th or 12th, that's when you go to Vasquez or King. Could be wrong.
Dude, if this thing gets the 11th or 12th, I'll be puking.
And we'll be on the radio just like this.
We will be on the radio for 4 hours. It'll be 4 hours in and we'll have been on the radio for all 4 hours of the game.
How fucking stupid is that? Sorry. It's fucking stupid. Anyway.
We will do a watch party, though, tomorrow. So join us on.
Yeah. Yeah. YouTube. If you guys want to watch the game with us and puke with
freak
us.
Freak out with us.
Could you? It's like tied 3-3 in like the 12th inning and Randy Vasquez.
And we're like, hey, let's, that Jets secondary.
Like, really, hey, Chris Hodge, what's up, bro? It's the ninth inning. Because it's at fucking 4:30. Oh, my God, dude.
We might have to move Chris to like 4 because we can't have the game literally end when he's on the air.
Maybe move him to like.
Well, at 4, the game won't be over. There's no way it's a 1-hour and 50-minute game tomorrow.
Inside baseball. Can we tape with Chris?
We'll have to figure that out. I love how we're just like talking about our show tomorrow with like with 700 people.
They're all family. Who cares?
Everyone here is family. Guys, please subscribe and we'll get back to the conversation in a moment. Listen, the next time, speaking of the show, by the way, I have more for you on the show. We could talk off air. The next time you're in Vegas or the next time you're by a Lucky Box vending machine, make sure to take advantage of our promo code. It's the word Padres, all lowercase. You get $5 off with our promo code, the word Padres, all lowercase letters, $5 off. You can pick up a mystery sports card or a mystery Pokemon card or a mystery autographed jersey. You pick of those three what you want. And then you get, like, I got a Fernando Tatis Jr. Auto 10 card, which was like the coolest thing ever for me. Or you could get like a Patrick Mahomes signed jersey or like Messi's signed cleats as like a holy grail that's in these machines. It's really incredible. So click the link in the description down below. Find out where these machines are located. There's like 20 of them now in Vegas. They're coming to Southern California. One of them is in Chicago O'Hare. on your way out of Chicago, on your way from Milwaukee. I don't know if that's a flight or a drive, truthfully, and I'm the geography guy. Get to the Lucky Box at O'Hare and use our promo code Padres, all lowercase, and take $5 off.
Yeah, go to luckyboxvending.com, sign up to be a golden ticket member. You can get insider perks, early location drops, and chances to win signed memorabilia. Sign up. It's free of charge. Luckyboxvending.com.
Jim should like this.
Did this person, hold on, wait. How's the officiating been? Watch what the coin shavers want. Did you enter the wrong chat?
Well, I did think that third foul, though, on Machado was, that was ticky-tack.
It really was. They were calling it tight early. I thought
the technical was ridiculous on Schilt.
Yeah, that one moment in the first quarter where Tatis clear steal and they called a reach-in foul, I thought that was egregious.
It was unbelievable. It was terrible. There's no doubt that game was fixed, though. I agree. I mean, if you watch that, yeah, everything was fixed. Machado, yeah, he threw that ball over the wall. He didn't hit it there.
And Schilt challenging that charge call.
Terrible. What an idiot.
Yeah.
You'll like this. Alan, thank you, man. He says Mason Miller's the Steph Curry of relievers. Is he changing the game? He's throwing hard.
Well, I mean, everyone throws hard. If you don't throw 100. No.
He throws it really hard.
Yeah, but if you're a reliever, you don't throw 100, like, you're not sticking. You got to throw 100.
That's crazy.
I saw here five guys. Where was it? I think did I retweet this? Hold on. Yeah. The average fastball velocity for every Padres pitcher today, it was insane. Dylan Cease, average fastball, 98.1. Adrian Morihone, 97.8. Mason Miller, 103. His average fastball today was 103, and he didn't throw like four pitches. Robert Suarez, 99.4. So the lowest average fastball velocity from a Padres pitcher today was 97.8.
Do you guys remember when we were kids and we go to the batting cages and the thing would get like ratcheted up? It could be 70. 80, yeah. 90. And I, when the thing would come in like the 80s, the thing was humming.
Right. Bro, like the 60s, I was like, I can't hit this.
The thing was freaking humming. So, okay, that's when we were like teenagers in the batting cage. And I put like 30 miles per hour on those pitches with movement.
Impossible.
Right.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Like the average person, if they were at the plate today and they tried to hit the 104.5.
It looks so funny.
Oh my God.
It'd be hilarious. How many human beings would have to come to the plate before the bat contacted the ball on that pitch and the pitch was hit for a base hit? How many human beings would have to attempt to do it before it occurred? Like, how many? 10 grand?
I don't think anybody would get a hit. Like, honestly,
don't you agree that someone would just swing a bat and the ball would hit it?
Now, are we talking like average people like me and you, or like play people that actually have played baseball?
Well, we can't have like my mom at the plate. I mean, that would be pointless. But then again, me at the plate would be pointless, truthfully.
No, you can't bunt. You can't try to bunt. And by the way,
bunting would be cheating.
You have to swing.
I mean, believe it or not, I played high school baseball for a year, I think.
Oh, nice.
But I don't think I could hit Mason Miller, even though I played at Laura Marion.
John, there is a better chance of you flying than you hitting Mason Miller's 104.5.
Like, me flying or like operating a plane?
No, like you levitating as a human being and flying like Superman. You have a better chance of doing that than hitting Mason Miller's 104.5 mile per hour fastball.
I can't even hit a golf ball that doesn't move.
Dude, no one's hitting that pitch, bro. I'm telling you. Everyone's like, oh, Tony. Tony was a lefty. You think Tony's hitting that fucking 105?
Your jam job there.
Like, either either Tony has to have the ultimate, like, I mean, he had a quick bat. Don't get me wrong. I understand.
Yeah, 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 you think?
A quick bat. Same with Bonds. I'm thinking, you know, but that's at the knees, dude. 105 at the knees. Just go back.
I think Tony opens up and goes the other way with that thing.
Oh, yeah, totally. He takes it down the left field line. Go back. If you guys want to listen, it's a great listen. Go find on YouTube Barry Bonds talking about his at-bat against Eric Gagne. And he mentions how Eric Gagne threw like 100, and he was like, it's the hardest pitch I've ever seen. Mason Miller threw 5 miles per hour faster than that today.
Insane.
Like, you're not hitting it. In that location, that specific location, at that specific speed, yeah, no one's hitting that.
I might have had a shot if I was like practicing. JD's third thing, nobody's hitting it.
Babe Ruth seeing 104 would blow his mind. Yeah, I think it would.
Let me get to this from Gavin. Gavin, appreciate you, man. Guys, over here, subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans. Padres and Cubs will play game 3 at 2:08 on Thursday. Says after the game, the amount of Cubs fans complaining about how many pitchers we have, the pitch 100 was great. Our bullpen really is great. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know what the Cubs like hitters are thinking heading into game 3. I mean, I think they're thinking what I'm thinking, which is you better score off of Yu Darvish. Like, that's what I'd be thinking if I was the Chicago Cubs. We better put all of our efforts into getting to him early, because if we don't get to him, we could be dealt the same fate that we were dealt in. Did they score against the bullpen? You said they scored in game 1? Oh, off Estrada.
And Peralta.
So they've scored. Like how many innings did the bullpen throw behind Pivetta? How far? Pivetta went what yesterday? 4 2/3?
Mm-hmm.
So that means, or did he go 4 1/3? They had to get like 14 outs yesterday.
Pivetta yesterday. Cease went 3 2/3 today. Pivetta yesterday. I think he completed 5, actually.
I didn't think he did.
He did. He completed 5.
Okay, that means the bullpen, though, has had to record 28 outs. In 28 outs, the Cubs have scored 1 run. That's an ERA under 1 from the bullpen so far. That, which proves my point. You better score off Darvish, because the bullpen for San Diego has been tough.
Flip side. Do the math here. Boyd pitched 4 1/3 yesterday.
Maybe that's what
I'm not putting Imanaga in the starter category or in the bullpen category. Right. Imanaga pitched 4 today. So 8 1/3 from the Cubs starters. What's the math there?
That means they've had to cover 9 2/3 innings, which is 29 outs. One more out than the Padres.
And the Padres have scored 1 run off the Padres of the Cubs bullpen.
So both bullpens have sub-1 ERAs.
Yeah.
In 2 games. So that goes back to my point. Like, if you're San Diego, hopefully get to Taillon, who's been awesome, by the way. Look at his numbers. Last 7 starts, sub-2 ERA. And if you're Chicago, you score off Darvish. Otherwise, it's only going to get more challenging potentially as you go on.
I was going to say, from a Cubs perspective, you know, because after the game, the amount of Cubs fans complained. I would be too. From a Cubs perspective, I think what scares you as a Padres fan, that's a positive for the Cubs, is like we've talked about earlier in the show tonight, Mason Miller and Adrian Morejon are not going to be out there for as long as they were today or on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, 4 outs, like 5 outs would be incredible. 4 outs would be great. Even if it's, you know, end of innings in like the 6th and the 7th, right? Or the 7th and the 8th, you finish off those innings. That's 2 outs right there, right? You know, you're not going to be seeing those guys a lot tomorrow. You'll see them. They're going to be out there, no doubt about it. If the Padres have the lead or if it's a close game, like, they're going to be out there. But you aren't going to be seeing them for like 6 straight batters.
Yeah, completely. Completely agree. It is an interesting analogy from JD's third, who says Suarez is like Manny at the plate, but Miller is like Shohei at the plate. Big difference. Hey, we're all saying the same thing. Miller's a cut above. The way he's pitching right now makes him special. Yes, he's better than very good relievers, great relievers. Yes, he's a cut above, but I like the analogy. Par Threes Club, thank you, man, for hanging out, and thank you for the super sticker. That's very kind. Appreciate thank your support you. Of the channel. Long time avid supporter of the channel, so thank you. JD's Third is followed up by saying, let's have a blowout so Kyle Hart can pitch the final four innings stress-free. That's not happening. I mean, no. There's no such thing as really stress. I shouldn't say that. I mean, there's a world where you could, I don't know, you could pile up some runs, I guess, but I'm not envisioning that. I don't envision a 9-0 lead for the Padres that they sit on all night long.
All right, let's run through it real quick here. Say you get 4 from Darvish. Okay. That means you got to cover. Score? No, I'm just saying. I'm trying to piece together the rest of the game. If you have the lead, it doesn't matter what the score is. 2-1, 1-0, 3-2. You have the lead. You lead the game by a run when he leaves. Okay. After 4, you got to cover 5 innings. How are you piecing that together?
Well, I mean, obviously a little bit of the left-right factor factors in to start innings, but I guess the main question is, are you comfortable pitching Jeremiah Estrada with a lead? My first response there is no, and I'm looking elsewhere.
You don't have a choice.
Well, I think I might have a choice.
With what?
Like, I mean, I certainly could entertain the idea of Michael King for an inning. I mean, why is he on the roster?
Emergency situations. That's not an emergency situation in the 5th inning.
I'll cover an inning with freaking Vasquez. I get your point on later in a game. I get that. I do get the extra inning theory, and I like that. But I'll cover an inning with Vasquez.
Here's why I wouldn't do that in the 5th inning.
Okay.
They don't throw hard. Now, Vasquez did pump out 98 somehow the other night.
He was throwing like 99. Yeah.
But we see what the kryptonite is of the Cubs, and it's fastball. I want guys pumping it tomorrow. I do think that they believe a lot in Wandy Peralta. So Wandy Peralta is going to be out there, whatever lane they choose, whatever the situation has. Jeremiah Estrada will be out there. Can you get 5 outs from those 2 guys?
Well, hold on real quick, though, before you go down that path. If you want guys that are freaking pumping it, Yu Darvish's average fastball velocity this year is 30th percentile in baseball.
Just FYI. It's not great. But his last 2 appearances at Wrigley Field, 13 innings pitched, 1 earned run allowed. And his career numbers against the Cubs are really good.
Yeah, but you're going back to 2022 when his velocity was not 92.
Okay, you're right. But I'm just giving you a scenario. Darvish gets you through 4 with the lead.
Who did you say cover the 5 outs?
Can you get 5 outs from Wandy and Estrada?
You like Wandy and Estrada for 5 outs more than King or Vasquez?
Yeah.
I mean, every time I watch Estrada do, there's problems.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's a risky play to be like, you know what? We're going to Vasquez and King.
It's a risky play pitching Jeremiah Estrada with a 1-run lead.
How about this wild card? Do you trust Bradley Rodriguez at all tomorrow?
I asked that earlier.
Out of an inning to give you 1 out. Can you get 1 out from Bradley Rodriguez tomorrow?
Yeah, I would trust him for that, and they will too, if I was guessing.
Okay, so Rodriguez, Estrada, Morahone. Or no, Estrada, Peralta. Wandy. Peralta, Estrada, Bradley Rodriguez. Can you get six outs? Can you get 6 outs from those guys?
Yeah, but I mean, it could get dicey.
Could, but hey, 6, it doesn't matter. I mean, it can get dicey as long as they get out of it.
But dicey implies anything can happen.
So, okay.
Okay, then from there, you're going to go to, let's say you get 4 outs out of Suarez.
Okay, so now you have 10.
Now you have 5 other outs.
Yeah.
And those five outs, you would say, can you cover that with like Mason Miller and Adrian Morrow? And that might be aggressive, though.
Could you push it to five outs for Suarez?
Yeah, probably. And the truth is, can't Mason Miller face multiple? I mean, Mason Miller can throw an inning tomorrow.
I'm just trying to like extend this thing. You get six outs from Rodriguez, Wandy, and Estrada. You give me five outs from Suarez. You give me four outs from Morrone and Miller combined. There it is, right there. There you go.
Well, I hope they're not trying to do that all with a one-run lead. Because that's a high wire act.
I'm just even like take out the one-run lead. I'm just looking at the piecing it together to get through the ninth. Like if now this all is predicated on you getting at least four innings from Darvish tomorrow. So you have to at least get four innings for this plan to work. I don't know where you'd have them. Obviously, we got to see how the lineup shakes out and where you are at the game. But like Bradley Rodriguez, Wandy Peralta, Jeremiah Estrada, Adrian Morahone, Mason Miller, and Robert Suarez for 15 outs.
Okay, listen, I like the plan. The one thing that concerns me is that's under the presumption that Yu Darvish goes four innings.
I know. But I'm just – that's my little, you know, exercise with him going four. Now, if he doesn't go four and he blows up, then the whole thing is just shot to hell.
Well, the reason I say is because Dylan Cease shoved and he didn't even go four innings. That's only one additional out at three and two-thirds. But, like, I'm thinking even if Darvish looks good, it still could be one of those, you know, three and two-third inning scenarios. But that's only one additional out, so your points are valid. I mean, every so often on cue, thank you, man, says pretty sure we're seeing Wandy and Estrada for a bit tomorrow. Really hope Estrada's fastball has life. And he has splitter command, but he hasn't. I mean, he had an ADRA in September. He allowed a run yesterday. You're putting him in the biggest spot you could possibly ask him to be pitching in. You got to ask yourself, are you setting that player up to be successful in that spot? Yeah. And I get it. Maybe there's nowhere else to turn, but I don't know if you're basically asking for trouble, are you not? By asking Jeremiah Estrada to give you, let's say, an entire inning? That to me sounds concerning.
It's concerning, but I would then ask you, what is your other option?
There's the David Morgans who's had a damn good year.
Okay, good. Okay.
I mean, is David Morgan a worse option than Jeremiah Estrada's 9 ERA over his last 15 appearances?
Do you know who manages the Padres?
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to be overly trusting of Jeremiah Estrada tomorrow.
I think he's going to be more trusting of David Morgan.
I mean, you're talking Bradley Rodriguez, dude. I mean, guy's got seven career appearances.
I'm talking Bradley Rodriguez because the dude throws 101. And he's got a nasty split. And that plays in the postseason.
I mean, yes, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, if David Morgan obviously was banged up at the end of the year. So, yeah, I'm not. I think either King or Vasquez appear tomorrow for San Diego.
Okay. I think that they don't.
I'll bet you a double or nothing sushi.
No, I'm not doing that because you owe me a sushi roll that I forgot about that you just reminded me about.
Jen, by the way, this came in a handful of minutes ago. Thank you for gifting five memberships to our viewers tonight. Appreciate you. 700 people here live right now. If you want to become a member, you can get the there's a Cub Busters emoji that's in there. So you can get all the emojis, including the Cub Busters emoji, which goes back to like 1984. Padres. So thank you for gifting those memberships. If you want to gift memberships, you can click that join button down below or just click that button and become a member. All right, let's get back to this conversation, Jim, in a moment. Do want to remind our viewers about our friends over at SeatGeek. They've got a terrific offer going on for you right now. If you use our promo code, which is PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP, you are going to get, what are you going to get? You're going to get $20 off your first order of $50 or more. It's been a long freaking week. You're going to get $20 off your first order of $50 or more at SeatGeek with our promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. Make sure you click the link in the description, download the app, have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later do want to thank our friends over at SeatGeek. I'm not even going to talk about, listen, here's what you can do. You can pick up tickets to concerts, events, Breeders' Cup, preseason NBA basketball, Aztec football, Aztec basketball. Click the link in the description down below. Shoot, you can pick up tickets for tomorrow at Wrigley Field on SeatGeek if you're in Chicago. So click that link in the description down below. Use our promo code PADSWRAP and get $20 off your first order of $50 or more.
Yeah, your tickets are instantly fulfilled and downloaded to your account because SeatGeek is MLB's official ticket marketplace. Like John said, and on the screen there, you see it. Pods wraps the promo code, $20 off your first order at SeatGeek of $50 or more.
All right, let's see. So 208 tomorrow is game three. Let's get back to some of the super chats. You could argue it's a must win tomorrow for the Padres.
Is it?
Every so often, thank you. It says, I miss Adam and Laureano so much. This is the jinx he was talking about. Because you said on the radio, you're like, well, if they don't win this series, might be because Jason Adams is injured. That's not really a jinx. A jinx is the opposite. A jinx is if Jim's like, well, now that they got Darvish, they're definitely going to win the series. Darvish is going to shove. That's a jinx.
Yeah, or if I was like, Padres go up 3-0 in the first inning tomorrow, I'm like, I tweet out game over. Like,
oh, can you imagine?
Oh my God.
You idiot.
Holy shit, so dude. Oh my God. I would get destroyed.
Game over.
Like, series over. Bring on the Brewers.
You moron. JD's third, thank you. Says, how many home runs tomorrow for each team? By the way, the team that has homered has won, right? Cubs hit two, they win the game. Padres won nothing today, they win the game. He says, how many home runs tomorrow for each team? Final score, 4-2 Padres with Nando and Merrill bombs. He's calling Sheets double and Arise triple. Cubs have two solo shots. Well, that'd be an interesting game if it did play out like that. I don't think we're going to see four home runs tomorrow combined.
We'll see what the wind is. I mean, this is it's a late afternoon game at Wrigley.
Yep.
And I'm just trying to think like what it looked like at 2 p.m. today. Right. And it was fine. I don't know what the weather like in Chicago tomorrow. I don't know if the wind's going to blow in, blow out. Blowing out would be interesting. Like, fuck it. Let's just have the wind blow out, see what happens.
It's 60-11.
Yeah. Let's just have some crazy wind tomorrow at Wrigley Field just to throw a wrench into everybody's plans. I don't know.
I mean, I kind of like the idea of Fernando homer tomorrow. Like, if I was going to pick a player, yeah, or maybe I'd go back to Machado. And sometimes Machado gets hot, he puts together a week, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. I'd love to see it from Fernando. I'd love to see it from Machado. Shoot, I'd love to see it from Luis Campusano. I'll take it from anyone tomorrow.
I saw Too Much Morton's put out career numbers versus the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least
no, versus Cubs or against players. Tyon.
No, I got Darvish numbers against Cubs players, and I got Tyon's numbers against Cubs players. Mm-hmm. Darvish in his career, really good. Cubs hitters are hitting a combined 194 off of Yu Darvish. The player with the best numbers, Justin Turner, 6-25 with a homer and one RBI against Yu Darvish, and that's really it. Michael Busch, 0-4 lifetime. PCA, 0-2 lifetime. Ian Happ, 2-13. Nico Horner, 2-10. Carson Kelly, 3-10. Seiya's 1-4. Dansby's 3-19. Kyle Tucker's 1-6. So not a lot there from Cubs hitters against Yu Darvish. On the flip side, Padres hitters against Jameson Taillon. Some good numbers. Toddy lifetime, 2-6 with a homer. Manny's 5-16 with a homer and two RBIs.
Pretty good.
Jose Iglesias, 7-13 lifetime against Jameson Taillon with a homer and three RBIs. Players that struggled against Jameson Taillon. Luis Arraez, 3-13 lifetime. bogeys, 6 for 28 lifetime. Ryan O'Hearn, 3 for 16 lifetime.
You think they make any change to the lineup? Like, you get Iglesias in there because he kills Jameson Taillon?
I have. Oh, wait. You know what? I'm a fucking idiot.
I agree.
I am a moron.
So true.
Why does anybody listen to me?
Agreed.
Don't clip that. I've been saying Manny's lifetime numbers against Jameson Taillon are very good. For 5 for 16 with a homer lifetime. That's the wrong player. It's not Manny Machado.
It's Manny Ramirez.
It's Martin Maldonado.
You idiot.
Because Manny's right above Martin Maldonado. And I
yeah, but Manny
lifetime against Jameson Taillon's 0 for 4. Martin
Maldonado. I was going to reference that tomorrow on the freaking show.
No one's listening tomorrow on the show. Martin True. Maldonado lifetime's 5 for 16 with a homer and 2 RBIs. So maybe Martin Maldonado's in the lab tomorrow.
No, he's not. He's definitely not.
So, okay, I take that back. I thought Manny had good lifetime numbers off Jameson Taillon. It's Martin Maldonado, you fucking idiot.
Welcome to my life, guys. Well, what else you got?
Yeah, that's it. Want to hear Michael King's numbers off of Cubs players lifetime?
Sure.
All right. Since you think Michael King's going to pitch tomorrow.
I said King or Vasquez will pitch tomorrow.
Cubs hitters, 7 for 22 with a homer and 8 RBIs. Team's hitting 318 off him.
Well, that's only 22 at-bats from the entire team.
I know.
Like, you talk about no sample size. That means nobody's faced him more than, what, like 6 times?
Right. I would love tomorrow if, because Schilt loves to play the numbers, if they start Martin Maldonado and Jose Iglesias.
They're not.
I know. That'd be
Iglesias. I mean, maybe there's a world where he gets in. I mean, he got in today early for Gavin Sheets, so maybe, but not Martin Maldonado. Par Threes Club, thank you, man. He says Suarez or Estrada with a 1-run lead. Suarez. Yeah. So, I mean, Suarez could absolutely be in that spot tomorrow. And you kind of, honestly, if they get it to Suarez with a 1-run lead or better, I can't complain.
No, that's the goal. Get the ball to Suarez with a lead.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully they can do that. And then hopefully he can hold the lead. Every so often, thank you, says Darvish, has to throw strikes. If Cubs take pitches, I'm shitting my pants because the aces of the pen are taxed and the line to outs is really hard. He's saying, like, right, if Darvish has to throw a lot of pitches, slash is ineffective, like, what is plan B for the Padres? I think plan B involves King or Vasquez. Like, if Darvish can't get out of the second inning, like, what's your plan there, Jim, if Darvish struggles?
Vasquez.
Then you got to buy me sushi.
Fuck. No, I don't. I didn't agree to that.
No, I know. But, yeah, I mean, there's a world where Vasquez or King could appear, but it probably is a world where Darvish struggles, and hopefully we don't see that. I mean, we all hope that Darvish could work into the fifth inning. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of the thing there is, like, can you get Darvish a little bit of length?
Yep, exactly. Have to get a little. If not more than a little, but yeah, you got to get a little. All right, let's get back to the conversation. Do you want to thank our friends over at Underdog Fantasy? You can win up to 5,000 times your money in a single night. Use our promo code. You get 3 great offers going on right now. Promo code is PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. Get a 50% deposit match up to $1,000. Get a free gimme pick. That's like Fernando Tatis Jr., higher or lower than a half total plate appearance. So they're just giving you the pick. And then you also get $50 in bonus funds by playing $5. You can play across sports like the NFL and the wild card round, and you can win up to 5,000 times your money in a single night. So check them out. Best and easiest place to play fantasy sports is at Underdog. Use our promo code by clicking the link in the description down below. The promo code is PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP.
Yeah, there's a QR code right there. Scan it, take you to the App Store, download Underdog Fantasy, use our promo code PODSWRAP, start playing today.
All right. What are your parting thoughts on this high stress day that will lead into a high stress tomorrow?
Final thoughts. Sigh of relief that they get to play another day. But the second you wake up tomorrow morning, man, the nerves will be there. Everyone's going to be nervous. Today, after the win, sigh of relief. They did it. They forced a game three on the road. I don't think that's ever happened in this format. Yeah.
The road team forcing a game three after losing game one?
Oh, wait. Well, it happened earlier today with the Tigers.
No, because the Tigers won game one.
You're right. Yeah. I don't think the road team has forced a game three.
That's crazy. I don't think they have either.
Yeah. So that standpoint, pretty dope. We get three elimination games tomorrow. Dope. We're looking to see if the trend continues tomorrow with the teams winning game one, winning the series. Hopefully,
I hope
Padres
not.
Buck that trend.
Right.
Right. Like if I'm not a jinx guy, but I'm a superstitious guy. Right. So I have this weird thing of like,
why are you frozen?
Am I frozen?
You were for a second. Now you're moving again.
Okay. I have this weird thing where like, so the Tigers, they won game one, Padres won game one, like before them type of thing. And like if tomorrow afternoon, because Tigers play the Guardians before the Padres, like if the Tigers win game three on the road, for some reason, my superstition would be like, I don't feel great. It's so stupid. I know. But if the Guardians win, I'm like, oh, that's good. That's good news for the Padres. I don't know why. I'm just dumb.
What are you talking about?
Don't worry about it.
Guardians Tigers have anything to do with this game?
It has nothing to do with the game. Like literally nothing. Nothing. I don't even know what I'm talking. My brain is scrambled. We're done.
That made no sense. All right. Here's the deal.
I don't have no idea.
We will have multiple shows for you tomorrow. Okay. Thank you, Daniel. We have John and Jim from 2 to 6. It's just a watch party. If you want a place to pace and react and type messages and interact with us and just second screen stuff, hang with us because we're on the entire game. I mean, the entire game. We're on the radio. We're on YouTube. Search for John and Jim 760. We'll hang out with you for 4 hours tomorrow afternoon. Hopefully we'll have time for post-game reaction. Hopefully it's a 3-hour game. Padres win. We got an hour of post-game reaction. And then of course we're here tomorrow night, no matter what happens. They win 30-0. We're here. They lose 30-0. That's going to be a tough game to watch, but we'll be here for you tomorrow night or anything in between. We're going to be here tomorrow night at 9:30 reacting to it all and hopefully looking ahead. That's the goal, obviously, for tomorrow for Padres fans. If you have not subscribed to this channel, please do that. We want to get to 10,000 subscribers this season. We're going to need the Padres to win tomorrow, but please subscribe to this channel. We have year on content for Padres fans. Smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks. We really do appreciate those. And thank you to those that have become members as well. You can do that by clicking the join button down below and support our partners, Mark Nimitz and Farmers Insurance and Lucky Box and Humboldt Casino and SeatGeek and Underdog Fantasy. And let's do it again tomorrow. Get okay. some sleep. If you can get some sleep, and 208, be by your TV, be by YouTube, join us. And we got you covered tomorrow. Padres and Cubs pivotal game three tomorrow.
Must win?
You could call it a must win. You could call it a must win. For Jim, I'm John. This has been the wrap-up show. Sleep well, if possible. Peace.
Bye.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.